As Barry announced, our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 26. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 26. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my name," or in my blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
We want to continue this hour with what we left off in the first hour this morning, our sermon period and our singing of at the 9 o'clock hour. We begin talking about remembering Jesus Christ. It is based on 1 Corinthians 11 there, where Brother Jan just read, where Jesus had given instructions to his apostles, and then Paul is emphasizing to the church at Corinth the reason for their coming together on the first day of the week, and the fact that the Lord's Supper is not a common meal. It is a breaking of the bread that represents the Lord's body. It is a partaking of the fruit of the vine that represents to the believer the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for our sins. And the Lord says, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we're talking about remembering Jesus Christ today. Just to review very quickly, we talked about the fact that Paul gave instructions to the church at Corinth, and we know that the Lord himself came to this earth and gave his life for us. John 3:16. The Father willed that his Son come and shed his precious blood for our sins. He was the only one that could shed his blood because he was innocent. He did no sin, no guile found in his mouth. So he willingly sent his Son. He gave his Son to give his life, and his Son willingly gave his life for our sins. Jesus did this in obedience to the Father. And so by obeying the Father, he paved the way that we could have forgiveness of our sins. And in this, we ought every day in our life to be mindful of Jesus and remember what the Father did through him, what God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit has done for us through the Word, and always remember who we are, blood-bought in Christ, and serve him faithfully. We talked about this morning some areas in which we need to remember Christ on a daily basis and on the first day of the week, remembering his life and his perfect example. And so he set the pattern for us to follow, to remember his suffering and his death, the trials he went through, being done wrong by his own apostles and his own disciples, the suffering and the betrayal, the mocking that he went through, the scourging, the treatment they received, and the beatings, and then to be nailed to the cross and die on the cross. We talked about remembering the death for our sins, and then his burial, being buried and closed up in the tomb with a rock, and the soldiers being put there to prevent his body being removed. But yet on the third morning, the stone was rolled away. The Lord himself was resurrected from the grave. He walked and was seen among men, his own disciples and witnesses, hundreds witnessed him over the course of the next few weeks. And we know that he did raise, was raised from the dead, that he then ascended into heaven. So in that, we remember his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and the fact that through Christ, we have the opportunity and the way to have forgiveness of sins, and we have not only the hope, but the assurance of a resurrection and the assurance of heaven if we follow Christ and do His will. We talked about the words of Jesus, how important they are, that He came to do the work of the Father, and the words He spoke are the words that we need to heed. So we need to heed the words of Jesus. Remember His words and His promise that He made to those who would follow Him, John 14:1-4, that he's going back to heaven to prepare a place. And as surely as He's going to prepare a place for us, He said, I'll come again and bring you unto Myself. And so we have all those things, the example, the suffering, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and His words and His promises to remember every day in our life. And on the first day of the week, then, we learn from the Bible that early Christians not only set the example for coming together on the first day of the week to break the bread and drink the fruit of the vine, but the things they did on the first day of the week as a group of Christians, that they came together to sing, verbally singing, making melody in their hearts to the Lord. They came together to teach and preach the Word of God. Preaching was done to them, Acts 20:7. Teaching was done to those people, 1 Corinthians 14. And we see then that the breaking of the bread, the taking of the fruit of the vine in remembrance of His death, the singing, the praying, the laying by in store, those are the five elements of worship that are found in the New Testament that was not only set examples for us then, but we are commanded to do also today in the church as just as they were, and that is on the first day of the week. So how often do they come together to worship God and to remember Jesus? Every first day of the week. Each week has a first day. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. And so they did these things in worship. And the worship then was carried out decently in order and in spirit and truth. And so we talked about the fact that today on our calendars, around the world in many countries, not necessarily in everywhere, but many places in the world, it's listed as Easter Sunday. And today then, once a year on Easter Sunday, as designated on the calendar, many religious people have a special service, and some folks will only attend maybe once or twice a year, or maybe quarterly, once every quarter, to remember Jesus and His life and God and what He says in His Word about Jesus. So what does the Bible say about that? Well, we've already studied this morning that the Christians came together on the first day of the week. We're commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We ought to come together on the first day of the week to remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, to do these things that are laid out in the New Testament to follow. We do them decently in order, in spirit, and in truth. And if we do those things that are revealed in the Word according to the way that we're told, then we'll be pleasing to God. But we don't have the right to change it and say, well, we're going to do it once a year, we're going to do it quarterly, or we'll do it once a month. But it was a weekly observance of the Lord's death and remember His death and looking forward to His coming again. So what does the Bible say about special religious services that may be set up separate and apart and followed through as perhaps commands or just traditions that people would follow on a regular basis but not in sequence with what the Bible says? Well, in Galatians 4, if you'll turn over there, we'll see a few verses there that Apostle Paul, writing to the church at churches in Galatia, he pointed out that there's a pattern, and there are things that we're to do religiously, and if we set up things that are of men, that are of years and days and seasons, that are of men, whether of religious nature or not, and they're not according to God, then we have no authority to do that. And Paul says, I'm afraid of you because you're following those traditions. Look at Galatians 4:9. He says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have labored for you in vain. He's letting them know that they can't go back to the law of Moses and observe feasts and days and years and months and things that they did on the old law, because the old law was fulfilled when Christ died on the cross. He fulfilled it. He took it out of the way and put into effect His law. So those feasts and observances of a religious nature, whether under the Mosaic law or anything that might be separate from the teaching of God, are done away with. And so what we have in the Bible is that, what does the Bible say about special religious services? Well, Paul says, I'm afraid of you because you observe these. The problem was they were doing that instead of observing the things that were off Christ. And so today we need to think about remembering Jesus and observe His death and remember His suffering and worship God on the day that He says and the frequency that He sets out, and do it in that pattern so we can be pleasing to God. So what did Jesus say then about remembering Him in worship? Well, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29, when He was observing the feast of the Passover with His apostles, which are still under the law of Moses, because the law of Christ had not been set up yet, because He had not died. But when He died on the cross, He fulfilled the law and nailed it to the cross and put into effect His will. So He lived under the law of Moses, and Jesus kept it perfectly. So what did He say then should be remembered in worship about Him? Well, He tells His apostles that break this bread and take this bread, each of you, drink this cup, each of you, and do this in remembrance of Me. That's what Jesus said should be done in worship. That's going to be down the road, is in the kingdom, I'll drink this anew with you. So in 1 Corinthians 11, we find the kingdom, the church, which is the same, Christians assembling when? On the first day of the week. To do what? To break bread, drink the fruit of the vine, to sing, to pray, and to lay by in store, and preach the Word of God. So when are we to do that? What are we to do in remembrance of Christ? Observe the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine. Matthew 26 and 1 Corinthians 11, they were active in that. And Paul points out in those verses that Jan read there that the church at Corinth had corrupted the Lord's Supper, because in that day and time, it would seem that they were coming together, and some of them would come together and they'd bring food and they'd eat a meal, but they wouldn't wait on someone else. Some had food and some didn't. Paul said, that's not what you come here for. You have houses to eat in. You're here to observe the Lord's Supper, which is unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. So when you come together, it is to partake of the Lord's Supper, not a common meal. And when you do that, you do it in harmony. You wait on one another and you assemble one another. When you come together with the same mind, the same spirit, your minds are concentrating and set on remembering Christ and what He did. And so it's a setup in the Bible that's easy to follow. It's easy to understand. So how does it get corrupted? How does it get taken from one day a week to once a year, or one day a week to quarterly? How does that happen? It's because people simply do not take the Bible and read it and understand what it says and obey it. It's not that I'm right. The Bible is right. It's not that you're right, but it's the Bible's right. How can we be right? By following that which is right, the Bible. How can we be wrong? By following things that are not of the Bible, that men may say ought to be followed and ought to be practiced. So our goal is to do what's right in the sight of God by seeking His Word to know what is right, because God is right. God's Word is truth, and the truth will set us free. It'll set us free from sin. It'll set us free from ignorance. It'll set us free from darkness. We can walk in the light of the truth. It'll set us free from prejudice. It'll set us free from so many things that will keep us from pleasing God if we'll follow the Word of God. We would pray that anyone would study the Bible and understand the frequency of worship, what's to be done in worship, the importance of worship, how it's to be carried out, and the elements of worship, and who we're to remember, and what our thoughts are to be on when we're worshiping God. So every day we need to be mindful of Jesus, remembering who He is, what He has directed in His Word, what He set forth for us. Because remember, He promised His apostles, I'll send you the comfort of the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit took the mind of God the Father and gave it to men and let them know everything they needed to know, inspired men. And so they were able then to reveal that to us and record it on the scrolls, and then eventually where we're at now, on these pages of the Bible, that's the Word of God. Remembering Christ on the first day of the week and remembering Him in the right way. So we need to remember Jesus, the Son of God, His death, burial, and resurrection, His suffering, the things He did for us, His words, His example, his pattern, his suffering, everything about him, and remember the Word of God that Jesus sent to us through the Holy Spirit, and remember the precious blood he shed and what it means to us, so that we can have not only the hope but the assurance of resurrection from the grave, and the hope and also assurance of going to heaven if we serve him faithfully. We're to do his will. Remember, faithfulness is involved, to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Well, as a Christian, as a child of God, you and I certainly have many blessings to be thankful for. And we need to be thankful for every blessing that comes from God. And Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So where does our spiritual blessings come? From God through Christ. Because God sent his Son. His Son shed his blood. His blood cleanses us from sins. When we hear the Word of God, Romans 10, 17, we have faith in God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We believe God. We can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So we are blessed that God give us his way, his will, and lets us know what his plan is for us, and so that we can follow his guidelines by faith, receive forgiveness, and go to heaven. So the Word of God warns us then not to change anything that's written. Warned that back in Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. They were warned not to add to or take from, diminish out from, the law of Moses. He warned them, "I will not allow you to change my law. My law is for you." They were not allowed to change it. Galatians 1, 6 through 10, Paul told Christians that those who might come and preach a perverted gospel, don't listen to those. He said, "For I am amazed that you're so soon removed from the gospel," which is not another gospel, but there are those that would pervert the gospel of Christ. "And if any man preaches any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So he warned them about receiving anything that's taught that's not in the Bible, and following anyone who teaches anything that's not in the Bible. So where are we at today? Today, on the first day of the week, in our lives today, just as it was in the first century, we ought to be worshiping God, remember the Lord's death, burial and resurrection, teaching and preaching the Word of God, laying by in store and singing and praying to God. Those are the five things. And how do we do it? Decently and in order, in spirit and in truth, giving God the glory and remember his Son's death. So the Word of God warns not to add to or take from. Matter of fact, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, it warns that if any man takes away from the things that are written in the book, I'll take away his part out of the book of life. And so our names are written in the book of life when we're baptized into Christ, and his blood cleanses us from all sins. The Lord himself adds us to his body, the king of the church, because we're saved by his blood when we by faith obey. I don't want my name taken out, do you? I don't want it taken out. But if we take away from the things that are written in the book, if we say it's not essential to worship on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, we can do it once a year, we've taken away those other 51 weeks. If we say it's okay to preserve the Lord's Supper every quarter, then we've taken away the first day of the week observance, and we put it on every quarter. And so, remembering Christ, remembering his word, and in the Revelation 22, 18 and 19, he warned that we're not to add to the things that are written in the book, or I'll add to him the plagues that are in the book. So we need to follow the commands and the examples of the New Testament, faithfully follow God in all the things that we do in our worship, and serve him. In the next few minutes of our lesson this morning, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering him and what the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came and did the will of the Father sent his Son, and through those blessings, what do we have through the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ provides our forgiveness for our sins through his blood. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, if you will. And Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And we're not going to read all these verses. Time will not allow, but you can. There's an outline on the back of the bulletin if you'd like to take it home. And most of you already knew these verses before we ever brought them up this morning. But nonetheless, let's just take these in point and go through them. There's several of them here in Colossians. The Lord Jesus Christ provides our forgiveness through his blood. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. He has forgiven us. God has forgiven us through the blood of his Son when we come to him in obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ helps us that in that we can see where I got to. I've lost my place here, folks. Let me start over. Give me just a second. We know in the Lord Jesus Christ we can follow Him. We follow Jesus and all the things that are taught in the Bible. But we're down now to the point that Jesus, the Son of God, died for our sins. We worship God. And we're looking at what Jesus did for us through His Son. So, He provides forgiveness through His blood, Colossians 1, 12 through 14. And Jesus Christ is the image of God, Colossians 1, 15. He's the image of the living God because He was with God. He's part of the Godhead. He was God Himself who came to live in the flesh as His Son. And He then, as the Son of God, died for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, by Him, all things were created. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Look at that verse. For by Him, well, let's go back to verse 15 and 16 and get these last two points. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principles or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And then in Him all things exist. Verse 17. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. We know in John chapter 1 that in the beginning the Word was God, the Word was with God. There was not anything created that was not created without Him, because He was there in the creation. The Lord Jesus Christ then is the head of the church. Colossians 1 and verse 18, we just keep going down in these verses, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. So, He's the head of the church, and He reconciles us to God. Let's go back to that verse. And by Him, verse 20, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His Christ. So He reconciles us to God, He makes us complete, and He makes us alive through faith, Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2 and read just a few verses beginning in verse 6. He says, as you therefore have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So here's another warning from Paul to the Colossians. Follow the things of Christ and not the principles of men. Follow the teachings of Christ and not the teachings of others. For in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 2, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Then we see in Colossians 2, 11 through 13, that we're made alive through Christ because of what He has done for us. Verse 11 of Colossians chapter 2. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the Word of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So today when we remember our Lord Jesus, think about all the blessings we have in Him. So He came from heaven to live as a woman, set the perfect example, set the perfect pattern, and left the Word of God for us to follow. So on the first day of the week, the early Christians came together to break bread, to worship God, and do those elements of worship that talks about in the New Testament. On the first day of the week, we today follow that example, and we follow that command. We need to remember the Lord Jesus and what God has done for us through Him. And remember that Jesus invites everyone to come and follow Him, wherever they may be, whatever race they may be, whatever set in life they may be, whatever their situation is. He comes and asks them to turn from their way of life and sin and come to Him. Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Then the question is, have I accepted that great invitation? Have you accepted that great invitation? Are we doing as God pleased? Are we going to accept that great invitation to come and obey His will and His way? Let His Son be our pattern and our example. We need to accept that great invitation because 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. So think about it a minute. If we're not a Christian, today is the day to become a child of God because we may not have another. If we're not right with God today, today is the day to repent and confess our sins and make that right with God in whatever sense that we need to do that between us and God, between us and someone else, or if it's a public nation, we need to make it right before the church. We need to make that right because today is the only day that we're promised, James 4, 13 and 14. Every day, we need to remember the Lord because Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, John 14, 1 through 4. And surely as He's going to prepare a place for us, He'll come again and He'll bring us under His own. We need to remember Jesus. We need to remember His words. We need to obey Him and remember what God has done through His Son, what God the Father and His Son, the Holy Spirit, has done to us and for us through His Word. Follow His plan, not change His plan, but by faith, obey the plan. Hope the lesson this morning will help encourage us. You already knew all these things before we discussed them, but I hope it will encourage us and give us strength to stay with the Scriptures, stay with what's right in the sight of God, and be able to do His will and follow Him, and know that one day, if we do so, we'll hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter the joys of the Lord. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation anyway, please come while Donald leads us in the invitation song.
Someday you'll stand at the bar.